right. AB Dealing, thank you for hanging out with me today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. So fun.
It's my pleasure. I'm like so glad that you introduced yourself to me like the last night of Capcom, I'm pretty sure it was.
I was like, I have to talk to Nikki at some point during CapCon, and it just kept, I kept being so busy, and I was like, this is the night, I have to do it.
I'm so glad because I have never seen your face, but you're like, hey, I'm AB Dealing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so nice to meet you. Like, you're so rad. So I'm so glad that you did. And then we had a great conversation, and I was like, we should do a podcast.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. I'm like have been listening to episodes that you've been putting out, and they're also sweet. And yeah, it was so fun to get to meet you at CapCon, and so fun to just like explore that world even more. It was my second year at Cap, and I think the first year I was like, what is this? What's going on? How do I figure everything out? And so it was nice to feel a little more at ease and able to kind of like meet people and hang out a little more this year.
Wow. So last year being your first, was that kind of towards the early side of your journey with ABDL?
So my journey with ABDL started five or 6 years ago now, but it was like the start of my support groups. So like the support groups had only been in existence for like 2 or 3 months the first year I went to CAP. And so I was still very much like, what am I doing here? Like, could this be a thing that I'm act that is actually working? Like, we were still getting the plus ones group. I don't think we'd had anybody show up to any of them yet. And then this year at CAP, I had like a plus ones in person group, which was wild and kind of not quite full circle yet. We got 7 people at CAP, which was still great.
Who are all
I'd love
plus
to see
ones?
more. Yeah, who are all plus ones.
That's so cool. Real quick sidebar. Could you tell us what a plus one is for those who might not know?
So a plus one is friends, family, or partners of ABDL. So that support group is for just those folks that don't identify as ABDLs themselves. They might identify as kinky, they might have lots of different identities, but that they don't identify as an ABDL and that they're wanting to come and get support about what that kind of unique experience is. I kind of started as a plus one. And now I'm like, I say I'm somewhere in between, like a plus one and a lifer. Like, I don't have that, like, when I was 3 years old story, but I'm also not like pushing against any part of ABDL and like very much like becoming more a part of the community.
I love
And,
that,
but when I
first of
started,
all. That's amazing.
yeah, I'm like a middle kind of.
I'm here for it.
And when my partner kind of first told me about everything, it was like, okay, cool. Now we're in this like super secret pact with just each other.
So
Like
that was your
we're not.
intro, your partner sharing.
Yes. When my partner told me about it, about ABDL, like 5 years ago, we kind of slowly introed to it, took time to talk and warm up and everything to it. But at that time, we weren't living in Denver. We didn't have any friends that were in the community. I mean, he had people that he knew from like online, but hadn't met people in person. And we weren't at the point of comfort with it that we felt like we could tell any of our like vanilla friends about it. And so I found out that I was just kind of in this like secret pact with my partner of like, okay, we can't tell anybody else. And we're only talking to each other about this, which means that I was having all these like feelings. And the only person that I could process them with was my partner. Or like myself, right? I could just like keep them to myself. I wasn't at the point that I wanted to talk to my therapist about it at the time. And so I was just only processing it with him. And like there are some very valid and very harmful feelings that can come up from a plus one. And if you're just processing that with your ABDL counterpart, it can do a lot of damage. Like there are
Absolutely.
some really valid, like this part freaks me out, or this thing feels gross to me. That is like, for me, it was like the start of acceptance. It was like that I just need to name this and understand. I need you to give me some space around this to like get there, right?
There's so much to navigate. There's so many things about AVDL to navigate.
And there's so much like context that I didn't have coming into it. I haven't been on FetLife or Instagram for years and years and years. Like I don't know the norms, right? And so there's a lot of getting to speed that was going on. kind of long story short, that's how the plus ones ended up getting founded, is because I like want made the group that I wanted to have when I was figuring things out.
Was the plus ones group the first support group for AB dealing?
So I started the plus ones group and the like AB dealing kind of community group at the same time. Mm-hmm. They just kind of both, the first month of both of them was December of last year or 2 years ago. I don't know how math works. It was like not this most recent December, the one before.
Totally. Which is over a year ago.
Over a year ago. The plus ones, it probably took 4 or 5 months to get anybody to come. So the first little bit, we were trying to still do it in the store at AB Dealer. And then we decided that maybe getting people who might not love diapers to walk through a diaper store to talk about how they might not love diapers was maybe not the most accessible way to do it. So switched it to Discord, to a voice-only chat, so people didn't have to, we didn't have to worry about confidentiality.
Very accessible.
Yeah, and so people could join from wherever. So we've had, I had somebody join from Poland one time, which was wild. I was like, it's late there, isn't it? And she was like, actually, it's kind of early.
There's way too much counting involved with that.
I
love how broad that reaches. I think that's really amazing because that group is such a focused group. Like my partner or loved one is an ABDL, HELP. Like, what do I do? Like, how, this is foreign to me, or this, I feel this. That's a very focused group. So putting that out there into the world is like really cool, really special.
Yeah. It's also a group that it's really hard to find each other. You know, like ABDLs can find each other on FetLife. There's not like a plus one's FetLife. And so it's kind of this interesting like experience of, you know, I know there's other plus ones out there. How do I find them?
So your partner divulges ABDL to you. So our listeners probably can gather by now that you run a ABDL support group and an ABDL plus one support group. So how did we get from, you know, look, I've been in relationships. I'm 32, despite my looks. I've been in relationships where I was very monogamous, and this kink, divulging, sharing to a partner, almost just creates this immediate isolation, and it's no one's intent, you know, but it's, here's my deep, dark secret. What's next? You know, like, please don't share this with anyone, but I am an adult baby, you know, so instantly kind of creates that isolation. Who do you turn to, you know? And that was never a situation I wanted to create for somebody, but I've since kind of navigated that a little bit in my life. But where did you go from that initial convo to being AB dealing?
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting trajectory. So my partner like texted me to tell me, first of all, which I say in a lot of my groups, like maybe don't do it that way.
That is an A-bomb.
It worked out for us. Worked out okay for us, but like maybe wouldn't suggest other people do it that way.
Would it be acceptable or better to write a letter and hand it to your partner like while you're in the same room? And it's like, here, read this and I'll be in the other room, or I'll be in the room. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that could work. I think it's always nerve-wracking watching somebody read it. So I think, yeah, being in the other room is maybe helpful. And I get that sometimes it's really a big hurdle to look somebody in the face and like say things out loud that maybe you haven't said out loud to literally any other human before. So I think writing it down can really help. I think the difficulty for me with getting the text was that I didn't have like his physical body in the same space as me.
Absolutely.
And so I wasn't given the ability to be soft in that moment. I wasn't given the ability to be like inquisitive, you know.
You have needs too.
Yeah. I think sometimes like that protectiveness, like I need to protect myself when I'm saying this big, big secret to my partner, that can like block some connection sometimes.
Well said.
So I'm all for like allowing that connection, which is like vulnerability, right? Like there's a chance that it won't be picked up in the way you want it to be picked up, but there's a chance that it will be. And you don't know until you let it, until you open up a little bit for it.
Yeah, that's when like a lot of magic starts to happen in relationships, you know, when you start to open, let those walls come down. It's scary. It's scary as hell, but.
So scary. Mm-hmm. So scary. But yeah, so my partner texted me and I can't remember the exact text, but it was something to the effect of that he liked diapers and that he wanted, I think that he wanted me to wear diapers was like part of the conversation. And I had been friends with my partner for like 2 years before we even started dating. And then this was like maybe 4 or 5 months into us dating. So there was like history there for sure. And I just remember that when we actually got to talk about it in person, I was like, I have two rules. I guess it wasn't that he said that it was diaper specific. I think it might have just been like age play in general that he led with. Mm-hmm. Because my like two rules when we actually talked were, I'm not going to shave anything I don't already shave. Like, I'm not interested in being like this kind of like infantile, like mm-hmm. virginal thing. And then I said, I'm not wearing a diaper. Like, that's my other rule.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. And he was like, okay, like, let's keep talking about these pieces. And then like, I think it was like a couple weeks later, I was like, but we could get a pacifier. Like, I'd be down for that. And so we got a pacifier. And then I was like, okay, we can try this diaper thing. Like, I'll see. I'm not against it. I've warmed up to it a little more. Mm-hmm. So then maybe a couple weeks later, I was like, okay, we can try this diaper thing. I'll give it a shot. Having time for it to like percolate a little bit and understand, okay, why was that my initial reaction? Like, this is something that he clearly wants. And so let's give it a shot and see what it's about. And so he put me in a diaper. And then I just remember the next, like, I don't know, couple weeks, maybe a month, was like, it was so hard for me to like actually use the diaper. Like, that was a big hurdle for me and a big, like, I was actually feeling like shameful about it, of like, I should be able to do this, you know, like, this is what he wants. This is what we should be able to do. Like, I was just like, there was some like mental block. I was having to like squat in the corner and like, you know, go sit on top of the toilet with my diaper on.
Yeah, that's a good technique. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you definitely want to make it as little pressure as you can when you're sharing it to a vanilla partner or a partner who's not a factory installed ABDL. I mean, I've been in that situation. It's best to, like, I don't know if it's easier said than done, but just try to create like no expectations. Like, hey, here's this thing, you know, that I like. But yeah.
Yeah, that's a piece that I sometimes talk about with actually both support groups, is that a lot of times from what I've seen, like an ABDL will find somebody who's not an ABDL but is accepting. And then they're like, okay, here's my list of 40 things that I've always wanted to do and we need to do them right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's okay to just let it breathe a little bit. Like pick your top three, maybe talk about those things. And like, absolutely. That doesn't mean the other ones won't get got, but you know. Give it a sec.
It's good to take your time for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to move at their own pace, for sure.
Yeah.
Did you go into a diaper-wearing frenzy after your partner divulged this site? Or did you be like, we're going to, you know, take this at my pace?
We kind of took it at my pace. I think for a while it was like more nights than not I was wearing. And then we moved in together, so there was like more. You know, I had roommates before, so it was like all, you know, extra hush-hush secretive. Mm. And so, yeah, I think that there was a little more freedom for us to kind of experiment a little bit. So I was wearing a good bit, and then we started our shared Instagram together, and that was, you know, we were posting on that a little bit. And then, honestly, I think it was around the time that my partner got his first concussion. He got a concussion, and I was like, oh, well, I should put a diaper on you as care. And we had already like switched a little bit up until then, but it was like he got this concussion and I was like, oh, you definitely like need to be like literally cannot do a lot of like adult, so like, okay, you're gonna be in the like little space. And that was kind of where we started switching more, and then it started like leaning a lot more towards him being little, which I think was like kind of what he wanted all along, but it felt easier to like start it as like me wearing. And
yeah. Well, I'll say this as a switch, a lot of us, I guess I'll talk about me, we kind of want everything.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say for myself, I want this, I want that, I want you to baby or be diaper girl, or and I want to be that, and I want it at the same time and not at the same time, and this way and that way, and it's like, that's a lot, you know. Shout out to all my switches out there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's cool. I love when diapers like go right into like the practical application of things. Like, that's so funny to me. I mean, bummer about the concussion. That's awful. I know what that's like. But when it's like, yeah, I really am just going to have to, I'm healing, so I'm going to be in this bed all day. So it's like diapers. Like, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to step more into that caregiver role.
Yeah. And I love it. I love taking care of him in that way. And, you know, just like really seeing him like kind of exhale a little bit, you know, like let out some tension when I put him in a diaper, and just being able to be like so cuddly and so sweet. I mean, he's always sweet, but we get to be, get extra cuddly.
It's fun. Yeah. There's just something about it. It's like this extra-ness that's just super fun.
Yeah. So that's been a really fun, and that's mostly what we've been doing for the last couple of years now. And then, yeah, I guess your original question was, how did I get from the beginning to the support groups? Mm-hmm. And so I'm like part of the way there now. And then the next thing was that we moved to Denver for reasons unrelated to ABDL. We actually did not know that there was a bunch of ABDLs here. Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to figure out what in the heck happened. If there's like something in the space-time continuum, who knows? There's some ESP that... some phenomena in Denver that's attracting all these ABDLs.
I feel like it's like, you know, in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, there's like the hell mouth where all the like evil things come out of. It's like that, but like cute, like whatever the cute version of that is.
Amazing.
Like, there's just like a spawn point for ABDLs in Denver.
It's like the Bermuda Triangle, but or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, amazing.
Yeah, so we moved here, and like maybe a month and a half after we moved here was the Dipchella that was like very, very close. It was like driving distance from Denver. And that was the first ABDL event either of us went to.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the first time I was meeting anybody who was an ABDL. I think it was the first time my partner was meeting anybody who's an ABDL like in person. And it was so much fun. We had such a good time. We were so nervous to go in there. We almost didn't go. And we had such a good time, and we met such sweet, sweet people there. And I started having these conversations with people, because I'm, you know, like you in this way, that I love to know about people and love to like have these deeper conversations. And I started having these conversations like on the outskirts of a DJ set when everybody had been drinking, and being like, here's my origin story. And or like, one time I told a partner, you know, and it was just like trying to hear each other over the noise.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, there's got to be a way for us to have this in a more protected space, like in a space that felt safer.
Totally.
Because
when we get together at things like Dipchella and what have you, it's kind of, you know, fun time. It's fun mode, you know. Of course, you know, we like to explore and store, like, you know, just making connections is such a blast. But like when you're just in a party and trying to do that, it's tricky.
It's so tricky. And I was like, oh, there's so many sweet, sweet babies here that have been hurt before. And gosh, wouldn't it be so great if we could like all talk about that, you know? And of course there's this narrative in ABDL that like, I just heard from so many people of, oh yeah, when I found out about ABD, like when I found out that I was in ABDL, I thought I was the only one. And I thought I was the only one that felt like this in the whole world. And gosh, how isolating that must be. And I was like, we got to get all of these little babies together. And yeah, this person's been hurt in a similar way that this person's been hurt. And here's how they healed from it. And even just that acknowledgement that like somebody else has gone through it can be really helpful.
It's amazing. There is no look that an ABDL has, you know. There's no race, there's no gender. It's Mm-mm. just like, it's amazing to go into a space like Capcom, because it's just like, and there's an ABDL, and there's an ABDL. You know, it's like, we're all, yeah, you know, we're tapped into this this thing, you know, this continuum. I don't know. But yeah, it's a very, I don't know. I think we're, who knows, maybe we're just at the beginning of seeing, you know, how big this thing is, or how many of us humans are tuned into. There's so many elements to it, you know, like our little side or just being kinky, all of it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this year, especially at CAP, I was like walking around just being like, I fucking love kink so much. Like, hell, I just love.
Same.
You know, we get to go into the dark age playroom. Mm-hmm. We got to be part of some parties where some like basically dark age play was happening. Mm-hmm. And I just got to talk to so many people. And I was just like, God, I love this. I love this world where there's all these people that have found this thing that lights them up like nothing else does, and that they get to do it. And then they get to hang out with a bunch of other people who are also doing it. Like, my God, that's so cool. Like, and I was just so, I don't know, you know that thing that sometimes you like stand outside and you think about how small you are and how big everything is and how that's really cool?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that. It was like that for me this year at CAPCON, is that I was just like, God, I'm so small. And this thing is so big and it's so amazing. And how wild that I get to, the smallness of me gets to experience the bigness of this just for a minute.
What you just said is literally everything that you just said it. That's like the perfect way to describe my heart, my emotions towards the community. I like just got, I became a very emotional human the couple days following CAP, but with my heart having this fullness, just an overabundance, just like I'm a teeny tiny part of this big thing that's so special. And it's just like, I'm honored. I'm just happy to be here. Like, this is fucking rad. Like, let's do this forever, you know? So
yeah,
I get it.
It's so special. And it's so special to just see people just being themselves in a way that they can't be other places, you know? Even just not having to like hide or change when you get there, or, you know, you could just carry around a pack of diapers at CAP. It's like beautiful. And that's like, I want to try to grab a piece of that when I do support groups of like, yes, we're talking about diapers, you know, like we're not saying it under our breath.
That's my favorite word. It's like probably my favorite word ever. I try to incorporate, sorry, this is a little bit kinky. I say the word diapers a lot to my partner, and I'm like, your diaper is showing. That's I'm being kinky when I say the word diaper. I just try to use it as much as I can, and as like dumb as I can, and as embarrassing as I can. Mm-hmm. Yes, I love that. We love embracing the silly. Yeah, we're here to talk about diapers. Amazing.
I also love the like kind of bit of being like, oh my God, you're wearing a diaper? Who does that?
That's my favorite. I comment that on Instagram way more times than I should. And I can't stop. I'm like, oh my God, you wear diapers? I've been doing that for like a million years at this point. But I can't help it. Never gets old.
It's like a reclaiming, I feel like. It's like a reclaiming of that thing that was like such a fear that somebody would say to you, you know? And now you're like, I'm saying this to somebody, and it's because we're both in on the secret, you know?
It's just epic. You said it. That's perfect. So what was the progress like of getting into diapers for your partner? What was your emotion initially? And then how did that become something like, hey, I enjoy this now too, you know, getting to the point where you're like post CAPCON elation of like, isn't this fucking world that we live in just like the shit? Like, this is awesome. You know what I mean? I got to imagine maybe there's a couple just maybe you are a kinkster and that was part of your awakening of some sorts. Did you have other kinks?
So I was actually like surprisingly vanilla before I met my partner. I was doing things that were like, you know, like light choking or like butt plugs, stuff that like to me feels very like the vanilla side of kink.
It's like vanilla-ish. Right?
It's still kind of kinky, but it's like in a way that feels very kind of normal, I guess.
So funny that in 2024 butt plugs are considered kind of vanilla. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Think about 1950s. Like,
yeah, we could never.
There's a little contrast there.
So I was like, you know, that level of kink, I would say. And then kind of met my partner, started talking about ABDL, was like engaging with it in a way that at the beginning was very much like, this is something that he wants and he's an important person to me. And so we're going to give this a college try. Like, I'm like that kind of annoying partner that I'm like, I get aroused when I see you getting aroused. Like, I like it when you're happy. And so
it makes sense.
That was, yeah. That's and so awesome. That was kind of where I was coming from on a lot of it. I was like, this might not be like my particular yum, but like it's yours. And I see the way that it makes you feel. And so like, yeah, we're going to chase this down. And that was like 5 years ago. And now, like, I think ABDL has helped me unlock like so many other kinks and so many, you know, this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. Like, very, you know, not only being more kinky in the ABDL sense, like having more like ABDL related things that we're doing, but also just like allowed me to have this freedom of like going to CAP and going to talks and being like, oh, wow, this thing that they just mentioned, turns out I'm into it. Like, new kink unlocked.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, I think that was kind of like the trajectory of that, was just kind of having that free, like having permission to be kinky, I guess, which like, it feels silly. Like, nobody needed to give that to me, but exploring it with my partner let me explore it with myself more and really discover more things that I like.
I couldn't agree with that more. I just, you know, like, kinks are like, they're like little presents that we either open or don't, you know, but they're there, you know,
yeah.
And desires too, not just kinks, just they're all for us to discover and they can make life really fucking rad. So I love all yeah. those intersections, you know, that there's a human I know of from CapCon who is not an ABDL and they are super close with all these ABDLs and they enjoy the ABDL kink just because of those friends. They are a kinkster. They are into, you know, BDSM and many other things. And I just think it's amazing that they come to CapCon every year and, you know, they're not even technically an ABDL. Like, sure, they indulge and enjoy this, but that kind of fucks with my mind. I'm like, you're a white whale. You're like, you're really hot, like, and they are really hot, not just because of that, but yeah,
it doesn't hurt.
There's something about that. There's something yeah. about this, that, and the other thing, all the things, all the dynamics. But, so yeah. So where, we know your starting point, so where are you at? You say you're somewhere in the middle, kind of yeah. an ABDL asterisk,
yeah. Like ABDL-ish, maybe.
Do you, let me ask you this, do you love diapers?
So I think that I love putting them on my partner. I love, you know, I mean, I'm at the store sometimes, and so I end up talking about them a lot at the store. And the way that I found them showing up in my life lately is on days that I'm just really run down, days that I need that level of care, days that I like want to invite that level of, no, I need to be not responsible for literally anything, you know. Those are the days that I'll be like, hey, I think I'd really like to have a diaper today, you know.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's like, I think the kink for me is not focused, like my fetish is like care, you know, like my, it's like that vulnerability and that, like, that power exchange in that way of like asking for care and having that be, that ask be met. And the diaper is like a vehicle for that for me.
I love the way you put things. Yeah. You're great. I am definitely, the older I get, employing balance in my life better. And you know, I've kind of tried to navigate that. I've had to learn about that a lot. And so I think that looks differently for every one of us. You know, some people are 24/7 and I'm okay. Like, what's your balance? How do you balance that? You know, some people indulge in diapers once in a while, some don't, you know, and it's like, I think we all have a different equilibrium of sorts.
Yeah. Something that made me think of is that, so I'm also a therapist outside of doing support groups, which is like related, but not a direct line. It's just that I have the skills to be able to do that.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But something that they talk about a little bit in therapy school is like, if somebody is like enmeshed with something or someone, so if they're like really tightly intertwined with that thing or that person, even if it's like playing golf or if it's like a new partner or something, right? There is going to be a place in their life somewhere else that they are removed from, that they are pulled away from. And this is what happens when like people have affairs, which, you know, people do that for a lot of different reasons. And I'm not demonizing that in general, but you know, when people have affairs or people have a new partner in a non-monogamy situation, like they'll get really, really, really tied up in the new thing, like that new relationship energy, whatever. And you just look and there's somewhere else in their life that they're pulling away from, that they're not as present for, that is feeling that loss. And so that, I don't know, that makes me think about it. Like when folks, you know, binge purge, for example, when they like get really dive head first into everything related to diapers, then, and that's not bad in and of itself, until you look at other parts of the life and is it okay, now you're pulling away from all of these things to push towards diapers in a way that isn't sustainable. Sometimes that's really sustainable. Sometimes that's what needed to happen, right? Sometimes that's a like response to pushing away diapers for so long. And sometimes it's like, yeah, where is that balance? Like, how can you have all of these things? How can we manage to balance them in a way that feels good to you?
Do you think that is the name of the game? Like navigating a way to find balance and sustainability with the things that like bring goodness to our life, for lack of a better word. You could say happiness. You could say comfort. Just make us kind of balanced. Because like I agree with everything you just said. I am a skateboarder. I will go 4 or 5 months without stepping on my skateboard sometimes. Because like you just said, other things come into our life and it's like all of a sudden I just can't. There aren't enough hours in the day, or there aren't enough days in the week or whatever. I'm occupied with other stuff, but man, that skateboard brings a lot of joy to me. Like it helps me stay grounded. So it's like, I don't know, I have these ebbs and flows, and it's not just skateboarding, of course, but it's many other things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that balance part is a big part of it. And I think there's also part of it that's like, where do all these things line up with your values? Right. Like, I think a lot of times when we feel tension in our bodies or in our lives, it's because we're doing actions that aren't aligning with our values for some reason.
Yes.
And sometimes it's not an intentional choice. It's not like I'm doing a bad thing and that's not my values. Right. Sometimes it's like, I don't like having to lie about ABDL. And that feels really valued. That doesn't feel good to me to be lying to my partner, to be lying to my friends about this thing. Right. And that tension can be really tough to hold. I love this person. I trust this person. I don't trust them with this thing right now. I have to lie to this person to maintain my sense of safety. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think there's a piece of it too there of like, yes, balance, and also like where do my values lie, and what of those feel really, really important to uphold as often as I can. And so for some people, like in that example, some people are like, I only have friends that are ABDLs, so I don't have to worry about it. You know?
Yeah, there's no mask. Yeah. There's no need.
Yeah. And that's that, you know, that works for those folks. That's a decision that they made to be value aligned in that way. And that's like really effective, you know?
Yeah, I've got a lot of kink friends here in Southern California, not ABDLs, just kink friends. And they are all best friends, and that's their friend group. And it's like hardly any vanillas will like enter that circle. But man, they are a very happy tribe of people. Some of the highest frequency humans I know. And they're super special. Yeah, it's a lot, you guys. I mean, I say you guys to everybody listening, ooh, I've been through so much. I'm sure you have too. And I've been at points in my life and my journey of resistance, resistance to my fetish, my desires, and points where I come back, I rubber band, and I'm like, no, like, who you are is valid. And then I set up camp there for a while. This is over the course of probably 12 years I'm talking about here. But yeah, even coming to the points where I mean, like, wow, my flag is planted. Like, I know I feel good about this ABDL side. And then a couple steps later, one thing leads to another, one relationship later, whatever it is, guilt, shame, whatever creeps back in. Yeah, everything is a process, you know? Even those, like, mega diaper famous people on Instagram, you know, they are all going on their journey. You know, it's just like, we're all human, period.
Yeah. I like to think about it too, of that, like, you were doing the best that you could with the knowledge and resources that you had at the time, right? So even pushing away ABDL, I think there's this, within the community, there's this thing of like, it's kind of a idealization of like, you have to accept your ABDL side all the time and 24/7 should be the goal and all these pieces, right? And it's like those times that you pushed away ABDL, like that was what you needed to do at that time because of, you know, guilt and shame maybe, or because of it wasn't safe or something like that, right? Like that's a part of the journey, because that's the part that kept you here, you know, kept you still on the journey in whatever way that looks like for you. And so I like to always try to like extend grace to ourselves. Like we're pretty good at keeping ourselves safe in general.
That's so good. I know it sounds cheesy to say, like, sometimes you have to like listen to your heart and you have to go where it tells you, but like, dude, it's real. That's what it is for a reason. And it's like, yeah. And that's not just fetishes. That's not just kink. That's everything. And I know I'm going to go overboard right now, but I will go as far to say, when I used to clock out for my lunch break and be like, what do I need to like eat right now? What do I need to put in my body? I need a Cobb salad. You know what I mean? Like, I know that sounds like to the very extreme. I do that sometimes, but like, look, there's something about it, like just listening to this, like the intuitiveness that's like inside us, you know? So sometimes it's putting diapers away for like 2 weeks or, you know, just listen to yourself. And I, through one way or another, have learned to kind of spot when I see self-resistance going on in myself. It's a weird thing, but you know, and I just try to look at that and be like, so what's the catalyst for me resisting this right now? I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Where's the resistance coming from? Mm-hmm. What's one part of me saying, and what's the other part that's resisting that part? What's that one saying?
Exactly.
And what do they need? Yeah.
You kind of tap into this. I almost feel like you tap into this diaper fetish a little differently than I guess maybe some of us factory installed ABDLs.
So yeah, I definitely tap into it for kind of my own comfort, which I think in part is similar to some factory installs that I've talked to. And yeah, a lot of the other ways that I interact with it are like through my partner, through the support groups, through kind of these pieces. I mean, with my partner, it's like more sexual definitely than it is in support groups, right? There's definitely a line there. But yeah, I think that's how I'm like finding my joy in this community, is, you know, occasionally dabbling, not being against it, you know, not being like, I'm never wearing a diaper again in my life. Like, I know better than that. But finding joy in it through my partner, through making connections with folks at events or at the support group, hopefully someday in the future having ABDL clients in my therapy practice.
Totally.
Because I just want all the ABDLs to have competent and informed therapy, and it doesn't have to come from me. That's not the hill I'm dying on, but I want us to I want the therapy profession to stop causing so much harm to kinky folk.
I want that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough to hear some of the experiences that folks in the community have had with therapists. So
I think I got really lucky with my therapist.
Yay.
So,
oh,
you
that's
know,
so good to hear.
Yeah, it was a great experience for me. I'm really glad I went there with them. They were not a kink, even remotely related to kink. They'd never heard of ABDL. So in a way, I got to be the one to be like, hey, guess what? There's this thing. That and they honestly handled it like a champ. It was amazing.
Good.
So yeah. Can't say enough good things about therapy, but I know, yeah, it's scary, and we're just going to manifest more therapists in the world like you, and more kink-positive therapists.
Hope so. Yeah. I've got like a side project right now that I'm trying to work on getting more kink education into social work schools, so that's my other little, like, side quest that I'm on at the moment.
Amazing. We're just doing it all. We're doing everything. ABDL plus one support groups and just
instead of like open my arms real wide and hug all the babies, I just want them to all feel hugged and held.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, maybe there's something to this whole like bringing joy to others, helping them unlock themselves. I think that's kind of the magic of the universe, you know.
Yeah,
feels good.
Yeah, I always feel so privileged and so lucky to have somebody in support group who that's their first time they've ever come to an ABDL event or said that they're an ABDL out loud. That still happens. We still get a couple new faces every couple support groups, and have it be a space that they feel safe to come. It's really special. And it's not, you know, only a part of it is like me. A whole part of it is just like, I get the support of the fine folks at AB Dealer and the space, and the, you know, there's a lot of legacy that happened before me, and hopefully a lot that's going to happen after me. And I just feel real fortunate to be in this, like, get these moments with people, to be present and hold each other a little bit.
Yeah. You know, what we do, even something that could seem really small, it can last forever. It can, you know, I still can think back to little exchanges that I had with kinksters and ABDLs 12 years ago that I can remember just like verbatim, like that unlocked something in me, you know, unlocked some self-love or what have you. So it's a gift to all of us. It's not a small thing that you're doing. I know. I describe myself the way you do. I understand, you know. I think a big part of it is because the stakes are so high with us and having this kink. It's such a vulnerability. It's like, I don't know, it's one of the most vulnerable ones, I guess. If I had a foot fetish, I wouldn't like care. Maybe people with foot fetishes fucking care. I would be like, whatever. Dude, I will tell anyone that I'm like, I like bondage. No big deal.
Yeah.
Like, bondage is cool, right? We all agree. You know, but like diapers. Whoa. Pump the brakes. Diapers. That's so weird. It's this paraphernalia that's so strange. But I get it.
I was actually, I listened to the RY's podcast. The Love and Brief episode that was live from CapCon, and they were talking about how people had this idea that ABDL is like kink light.
That was my question.
And the thing that I was thinking about is that, like, I actually think it's one of the heavier kinks in the sense of carrying it, you know, in the sense of carrying the knowledge of the kink. I think it's actually quite heavy. Like, I'm like in a sex therapy office, and I'm nervous to tell my fellow sex therapist that this is like an area, even just an area of specialty, not even like an area that is personally related to me, but that this is an area of specialty. Like, I feel nervous about that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't, like you said, like, I would feel like, shit, I got a foot fetish. Sure. Whatever. Like, that's, that feels so much different to me. And yeah, so I totally get that. And yeah, that, I don't know, it does feel heavy in that way.
When I heard it put that way, just put in those words, it blew my mind. Because where that question came from, I heard this gentleman presenting at this kink event, you know, talking about age play and dynamics. And he, like I said, it was, so this is the question, listeners, that we're talking about. A gentleman said, a lot of kinksters perceive age play as like a diet kink or a kink light, or it's not as kinky as leather or bondage. You know, these doms will come in with their vests and patches and all their gear, and they're like, no, I know what kink is. Kink is leather and whips and chains and bondage. That, like, diaper baby person over there, that's not kink, you know, that kind of general attitude. But what this man said blew my mind. He's like, actually, I believe the opposite is true. I believe that this dynamic is so deep and sensitive and vulnerable. And he went on to describe how long he takes his time with every new dynamic that he goes into with somebody. There's a very long, like, vetting process, and just like, you know, it shifted my paradigm. It shifted my perspective. And so, that's so cool. Yeah. There, and what they ended up saying on that episode was that kink is kink. There is no, like, thing that is kinkier, you know, which I wholeheartedly agree with. But in terms of, like, the depth of the, just our psyche, our vulnerability with this kink, it's a real deep, it's not the simplest. It's got a lot of different facets to navigate, for sure. Well, this has been wonderful. I'm so glad you gave your time to come on and chat with me. I really, really hope that people take advantage of what you're doing. I just remember seeing you at CapCon, and I'm like, oh my God, you're a rock star. Like, I heard your episode of Love and Brief, and I was like, what a topic. That is, like, something that my mind hadn't been brought to that place before. I've had so many partners that were plus one, and we all could use support. And it's just my belief that we are really better off, like, being there for each other. And so I'm, like, in love with what you're doing. And thank you.
I'm in love with what you're doing. I love this podcast and listening to everybody talk about what's unique about them and the ways that they kind of found this and the ways that it plays a part in their life. And also getting to hear you as part of that and how much of your heart comes through. It's so sweet.
Thank you. I've been, like, thinking to myself, I think my real kink is friendship. All this other stuff is fun. I love dynamics, love getting off, but, like, I think it's friendship for me, which that's very silly. I can't help it. It just is what it is. So, like, having a good time, and having a good time looks like this to me. So we'll just keep doing it forever.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. And come see me at my support groups, y'all.
Yes, please check out AV Dealing on Instagram and find the Discord link. It's probably in your bio, right?
Yeah, and I put out a new little flyer for every month. So if you want to see dumb little Canva posts, follow me.
Awesome. Check it out, people. And we'll see you next time.